What's up, it's your boy Scott G. Coming at you with another installment of just myself on the mic this evening. It's yet again late on a Saturday night, but my desire to continue this kind of silly trend, not even trend, this kind of silly streak, if you will, of putting up some sort of content on this podcast network every week for over 2 years has driven me late night on a Saturday to yet again come into the cave and entertain your ears with just some ramblings. Todd is yet again sidelined with a case of laziness. And so we did not hook up yet again to record this week. It will end next week. I will get on his case about this. At the very least, Jamie and I might record an episode of The Other Half for you guys to enjoy. We've been wanting to do that for the past several months and just haven't done it. I can't say we haven't hooked up to do it because we live in the same house. There's no real excuse there, but she was pregnant for a long time, no longer is. So it's actually, it would be harder to do it now, to do the podcast now, than it would have been 2 weeks ago and before. But we just haven't done an episode of The Other Half in a very long time. So hopefully that's forthcoming as well. But so just me again tonight. Got a few things I wanted to run down with you guys, a few topics I wanted to talk about. Another shorty in terms of length for the podcast here, but certainly wanted to bring you guys some entertainment, bring you up to speed on some things that are going on. As we record this, it is February 12th, Saturday evening, February 12th. Tomorrow is February 13th, and that is the Super Bowl 2022 style. Cincinnati Bengals versus LA Rams. I remember in the 90s, I had a very good friend. Well, he was a friend of mine. I wouldn't call him necessarily a very good friend. Shout out Leo Farber, if you're out there listening, who was a huge Bengals fan. He was a huge Redskins fan as well. And this is like, I say the 90s, this is like super early 90s, back when both of those teams were actually really good. The Washington Redskins, yes, I refuse to call them the Commanders. Certainly not now. And plus, we're looking historically, and they were the Washington Redskins. They were decent. They had Mark Rippon, I believe, was the quarterback back then. This is all off top of the dome. I didn't do any research on this, but and Boomer Esiason was the Bengals quarterback at that point in time, and they actually made, you know, championships. They made NFC, AFC championships. They made Super Bowls. But it's, I swear, again, having done no research, if the Bengals have been to even a championship game since 93 or 94, I would be astonished. They've just been, aside from maybe the Detroit Lions, they have been the basement dweller in the NFL for a number of years. And so getting all the way to the Super Bowl was kind of a surprise for sure, kind of out of the blue as well. I know that, you know, a lot of specifically Bengals fans, of course, but everyone's saying Joe Burrow is the next, you know, Joe Montana, or, you know, a bunch of bullshit that people are spouting out there. Look at, I also had, by the way, I also had this past week on one of my calls for work, one of the clients that I work with, we were just kind of shooting the breeze before the real business conversation started. And he was like, "Who you got in the Super Bowl?" I was like, "I don't know. I know nothing about these teams. If I had to pick, I'd pick the Rams just because Matthew Stafford was on the Lions for like 10 years. And as I just mentioned, they are historically a terrible team. And so now that he has a chance to be on a winning team, I assume give him the win. Also, of course, I definitely dislike Joe Burrow because he played for LSU. A few years back, they denied Clemson the chance to win the national title, and they beat Clemson soundly. And then afterwards, Joe Burrow was kind of a pompous ass, had the cigar in his mouth. And then I think the next year was his rookie year, where he broke his leg with a few games left to go in the season, and then this season. I think that brings us up to speed. But I interrupted my own story. But yeah, one of the clients that I was talking with on a work call earlier this week was like, So I said Rams, and he was like, yeah, I think I'll just, I might as well root for the Bengals. He was like, that Joe Burrow seems like a nice guy. I was like, the fuck are you talking about? Joe Burrow seems like an, I mean, again, maybe he moved to Cincinnati and he's pouring money into the city, you know, charitable efforts. I'm sure he is, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're the face of a team. But nice guy. I think in addition to saying he was a nice guy, I was like, yeah, it seems like a guy I want to root for. I was like, what? No. How? What are you talking about? So I could not disagree more with that sentiment. But anyway, so yeah, Super Bowl's tomorrow. I guess I'm pulling for the Rams. Rams are favored by 3.5, which again is not a surprise because I believe the Bengals were not supposed to make it to the Super Bowl. Maybe not even make it out of the first round. But as we all know, anyone that's even a water cooler level fan of the NFL, specifically the NFL playoffs this year, it was a bananas playoffs, especially the last two weekends. I think the semifinal AFC and NFC championship weekend was the one where all four games were decided by a field goal, most of which were at the last minute, like perhaps literally the last play. And then both the actual NFC and AFC championships were decent games as well. So just a wild competitive year. And when that happens, of course, anyone can make it. You know, it's not like the favorites just stomping their way through the playoffs. So again, no research, no bias at all. I'm just rooting for the Rams. I literally, the past several years, I have watched the game more for the commercials than I have for the game. In fact, I think last year and perhaps the year before, I DVR'd the game and then just zipped through the game, like the actual play, and watched the commercials. The halftime show looks pretty intriguing this year. It's got a bunch of old stars, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem. There's a female singer, I can't remember, and then another male singer who I can't remember off the top of my head who they are, but definitely like artists that kind of, I wouldn't say they peaked in the 90s because I feel like Snoop Dogg peaked in the 2000s and Dr. Dre and Eminem, they probably all did, but they definitely all got started in the 90s. So it'll be a throwback for all of you guys out there that are my age, if not older. You'd be like, hell yeah, my kind of halftime show. It'll be interesting to see, I mean, just those three I named, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and Dr. Dre, how they're going to split stage time. Like, are they going to do medleys like most of these artists typically do? Like, The Weeknd was the halftime show last year and apparently paid $2 million of his own money to put together the halftime show, the creative side of everything. And it was very different, very unique. But when it's just you, you can do a medley, a polka, if you will, of your own songs. Why not? But when it's multiple artists, I mean, there's some overlap there for sure. And, you know, those artists, some of those artists have worked together before in the past, but I don't know. That might be the most intriguing part of the event tomorrow, is just how that halftime show works out, how they're going to figure out who does what, when, where, why, who's the headliner, if you will, who opens, who closes. Are they all going to close? You know, who knows? Who knows? Is it Mary J. Blige? Is she the fifth one? Is she the female? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I'll be watching that, as most of you do. I'm wondering if any of you guys have any Super Bowl traditions. So I used to, when I was a kid, I was a 49ers fan growing up. I was never really a huge NFL fan, but I was a fan of the 49ers. Joe Montana, Steve Young, that was kind of my era. So I kind of glommed onto them because they were winning, probably. I'll acknowledge that. But I had, for several years, I had this tradition that I would get a bag of Runts. Any of you guys remember that candy, Runts? And eat that during the game. I know everyone talks about, oh, what kind of food, snacks, apps you going to have during the game. I went out today in search of Runts. I did not find any at my local grocery store. I did get a bag of chips and salsa. We also have some burgers that we're going to make. Probably around halftime or whenever we feel hungry tomorrow. Here in Mountain Time, I think the game starts at 4:30. So, who knows when the actual kickoff is? Probably closer to like 4:50, but it's supposed to start around 4:30, I do believe. I couldn't find the Runts, which is a shame. But I got, again, we got some junk food to eat. But it's just, you know, if you're not having a party, which I haven't attended, nor have I probably ever hosted a Super Bowl party, but I have not attended in several years. You know, in years past, when it's just Jamie and I, I've gotten wings, I've gotten mozzarella sticks, but it just becomes too much. It's like, why am I eating this crap food? Like, if you have a nice spread, if you're at a party of, you know, 10, 12 friends or more, it makes sense. But when you're just cooking for yourself and your spouse, just have a meal. Like, chips and salsa was as much as I was willing to commit. I mean, like I said, we have other chips and crackers and crap here, crap food that we can eat. I went to Crumble tonight. Shout out to Crumble, proud sponsor of the pod in the past and again tonight. Went to Crumble tonight and got four cookies, so we might certainly have one of those as well for dessert, but split one of those. But yeah, it's just it's overrated. The whole Super Bowl hype is overrated. The amount of pre-show, and I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, I cannot believe how much of that stuff they show. And it's interesting this year. And I don't know if it happens every 4 years. I feel like NBC just got the rights to the Super Bowl recently. But it is interesting this year that the Super Bowl is going to be happening right smack dab in the middle of the Olympics. I don't want to go off on a tangent here. Hashtag Dennis Miller. But how are they going to do that? Like, the Olympics have been what's on NBC in prime time for the last, what is it, 11? It'll be 11 days, 10 days, something like that. And they're just going to shut that down for a night? I mean, look, the Super Bowl will get better ratings. It is always the highest rated event every year, highest rated program, broadcast, what have you. But I just wonder if they're going to flip everything over to USA and CNBC and MSNBC and NBC Sports and whatever else NBC owns at this point. I can only imagine that the Olympic Committee doesn't give a shit about the Super Bowl, so they're not going to, you know, if they have any premier events, they're not going to hold them off. Just, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what NBC does. I imagine they'll follow up the game with local news and then immediately go back to the Olympics again. But by that point, specifically for all of you on the East Coast, forget about it. You're going to bed. I mean, the game kicks at 6:30 East Coast time. It's going to take 4.5 hours. It's going to be 11 o'clock before that game's over on a Sunday night. You should be going to bed. Like, there's no need to stay up and watch, you know, figure skating or whatever the hell might happen after the fact. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Also worth noting that the game is in LA at LA's new stadium, SoFi Stadium, I believe, which is a fantastic stadium from the pictures that I've seen. But so it's kind of a home game, which I believe happened last year when Tampa won, if I'm not mistaken. That was kind of a home game for them as well. I know the ticket sales will not make it feel like a home game. Like, average price or minimum price is $1,500, $2,500, I heard. And it just goes up. I think average is closer to $7,000 or $8,000. Like, it's insane how expensive it is. So you're not just getting, like, the diehard fans. In fact, you're getting a very small number of diehard fans. You're just getting a bunch of corporate people showing up to the game where their company bought a suite of tickets or whatever. But but it's got to be an advantage if you're the Rams that you can literally, I mean, they probably stay in his team hotel tonight, but theoretically you could sleep in your own bed tonight, whereas Cincy has been out there for a week in a hotel. I mean, I don't put a lot of stock into that. These are professional athletes. They've been doing it. You know, the veterans have been doing it for years and years where they stay in hotels. They don't get a lot of sleep in their own beds during the season, at least. But still, it still makes a difference. It still matters. So we'll see if it has any sort of impact on the game. The only way we'll know that is if early on, since he just looks super flat, you know, and the Rams just come out banging. But that might happen anyway. So we'll have to wait and see. Coke Zero, Cherry Coke Zero, another proud sponsor of the pod tonight. So that's the Super Bowl situation. Hope you guys, as you're listening to this, either are enjoying, are about to enjoy, or have enjoyed watching the Super Bowl. Hopefully it was a fantastic game. People like making predictions, so I'll go ahead. Again, Rams, the official line I saw, Rams are -3.5. So Rams are favored by 3.5 points. I will say the final score will be Rams 31, Bengals 17. I have no idea. Feels right. Feels good. Like I said, I'm pulling for the Rams. What the hell? Give Matthew Stafford a ring. He's earned it. If anytime you're forced to live in Detroit for a decade, you deserve something. So there you go. That's it. That's my official guess. You know, I said the Olympics. I don't want to talk about the Olympics, and I don't want to go off on the Olympics too much. But just a couple things that, you know, I'm watching it off and on. I'm much more a Summer Olympics guy, as I think most of America is. But the Winter Olympics have some interesting things. I was watching some short track speed skating tonight. I watch a lot of the skiing stuff, obviously, as a skier. I'll watch the snowboarding stuff. Shaun White had his final competition. He got the plastic medal, as I like to call it, fourth place. So just off the medal stand in the half pipe, which was a shame. He said, it's funny though, he said something just kind of, you know, there once he did his last run, the cameras wouldn't go off of him. They were glued to him. And he said, he was talking to one of the competitors, just kind of shooting the shit. And he was like, yeah, man. Because he fell, basically. He only did a couple of hits in his final run and then fell. I mean, it wasn't like a dangerous fall. He just kind of slipped, the board slipped out from underneath him. And he said to one of the competitors, he was like, yeah, my legs just gave out. And it's funny, I, again, as a skier for many, many years, multiple decades, I get it. Skiing can be very tiring. At the end of a ski day, specifically at the end of a ski trip, if you're out there for multiple days, a week or more, your legs get very heavy. Your legs get very, very tired. In recent years on my ski trips, I would also run in the evenings after I've skied all day. So I understand how what heavy legs are like. But to hear a professional athlete doing half pipe saying, yeah, my legs just gave out, it never even dawned on me that they would be tired. Because I think they did three runs, and it was his third run where he kind of fell like that. But, you know, you consider all the practice runs, and just the nerves and the anxiety that those guys are going through. I guess it makes sense that you would potentially get tired. Your legs might give out on you. So that was interesting, but cool to see his last run. I mean, he's 35 now. He's been in the sport forever. He started as a skateboarder too. So super, super famous, super influential X Games type athlete is Shaun White. So hats off to him. Excellent Olympic career, at least in the books. I'm sure he'll still do some stuff, make appearances, make videos, that sort of thing, commercials. He's got a bunch of endorsements. I think his snowboard was his own. I think it's called Whitehead, is the name of the company, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, Godspeed to him. Kid's doing well. He's well off. He'll be fine. The other thing of note is kind of on the flip side of a career ending very young. 26-year-old Michaela Schifrin doing five total events, her first two. She only made it to like the third and fifth gate, respectively, or fifth and third gate, respectively, or so, whatever. She didn't even make it halfway on the slalom and I believe the GS, which is crazy. Those were her two events that she was supposed to do very well, probably medal in, and she was out immediately. This was national news because she, along with Nathan Chen and a few other athletes, are some of the athletes that have been heavily promoted to push the Olympics, and the endorsements are heavy with those few athletes, and she's one of them. And so two of her first five events, she's just completely bonked out. And, you know, the whisper started, oh, is this like a Simone Biles thing? Like, is there a mental blockade? She's like, no, I just fucked up. And look, man, again, as a skier for many years, and I've done some of those NASTAR races where, you know, when I was a kid, just, you know, racing through the course, and it was fun. But you're skiing. You're on two planks of, not wood, but two planks of some fiberglass material. To think that you might not just slip out and not grab with the edge as well as you should, even at the absolute highest level, which is where she is it's a fool's errand to think that can't happen to anybody. And it did happen to her twice, and it sucks. Definitely sucks for her. Definitely sucks for the hopes of the U.S. Olympic team to get additional medals there. They were, you know, counting on her to get a few, but hey, it is what it is. Those things happen. As all the announcers have said, you know, we're still supporting her. Hope she does well in the other events, maybe still able to pick up a medal in the combined or something. But just crazy. Crazy that happened. That was a huge shock. Shock heard around the world. And then I mentioned his name earlier. I've never really watched or followed this sport, but Nathan Chen apparently had the best figure skating routine of all time or something. Scored like the highest possible or the highest score ever seen. I don't know. Won a gold medal. So good for him. And good for all the other athletes that are doing well. All the other athletes that are yet to compete. Good luck. And we're rooting for you. So moving on. Again, today is the 12th. Monday is Valentine's Day. Just a quick rant here on Valentine's Day. The most overrated holiday. Thankfully, every female that I've ever been with has kind of been like, yeah, we don't need to do anything. I think my very first girlfriend like wanted to have a dinner and she made me dinner, which, I mean, we were teenagers at the time. So I guess that was, you know, a pretty nice and unexpected gesture. But since then, any of the serious relationships that I've been in that have gone past Valentine's Day or gone, you know, we've been together through Valentine's Day, it's just like, don't get me a car. Don't get me flowers. I mean, I still will get my wife chocolate or get something for her just to commemorate it. But I certainly don't expect anything. And it's just silly. And then speaking of chocolate and speaking of Valentine's Day being overrated, apparently, as I mentioned earlier, I went to my local grocery store today. Apparently the grocery store, local Safeway, thinks Valentine's Day is over because Easter candy has already superseded the Valentine's candy. It's like, can we wait until Valentine's Day happens before we fill that row, the seasonal row, with all the Easter stuff? I mean, it's incredible. Like, it is what it is. I don't care. A lot of the Easter candy is very similar. I'm a jelly bean guy, so I'm kind of happy to see the jelly beans out there. I didn't get any tonight. Had to really hold myself back. But yeah, it was just kind of crazy. And it's funny, too, because Reese's, God bless them, Reese's has their thumb all over the candy related holidays. Certainly, as we've discussed on the BroPod many times in the past, Reese's is the most popular Halloween candy, but Reese's also has 14 different kinds of just heart-shaped peanut butter and chocolate combinations for Valentine's Day. They have, of course, the Reese's eggs for Easter. And again, like I said, they already have all that stuff laid out. There are so many rows and columns of Reese's products. It's kind of remarkable. So, yeah, they figured that out. I mean, they've always been kind of a powerhouse, but it seems like they're taking over recently. And so I give them credit for that. I give them props. But anyway, it was just crazy to see that the Safeway had all the Easter candy out. And then I happened to pop into Walgreens as well earlier tonight. Same thing. They had a little more Valentine's candy left, but it was mostly Easter candy already, which is just, it's just crazy to me. Like, wait for it to happen. Wait for the previous holiday to happen. It's almost like Thanksgiving is forgotten. The second Halloween ends, it's Christmas stuff everywhere. Same thing this year with Easter and Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to you if you're celebrating with your loved one. Hope you have a good evening out. Have a nice date. If you're giving gifts, giving candy, I hope it's delicious and all that sort of shit. But overrated, over-commercialized. And it's just kind of silly. Has been for me for a long time. Maybe it's just things, you know, a holiday for the young people. The young people, how old do I sound now? The teens and the people in their early 20s out there. I guess that might be the reality of it. So anyway, and then last thing, and then I'll leave you because I currently have 34 minutes to edit this real quick, do the write-up and upload it, which will not be hard, but I don't like to wait till the very end. You know, last week I think I titled the show The News We've All Been Waiting For, and then I did 30 minutes on Coach K and Duke and the program and the future and all that. And then unfortunately I went and lost to Virginia, but they beat Boston College today, so they're back on the winning streak, or the winning trail, I should say. But obviously, as many of you know that follow me on Facebook and follow me in the other social media platforms, my wife did give birth to our daughter. Her name is Isla Virginia Hoffman. She did that. She was born February 1st. So definitely a big lifestyle change. And I'm sure people are thinking, I wonder if that's why Scott and Todd are doing their show. No, Todd's just, again, he's caught a bout of the laziness. So we'll get back to it next week. So that's been a big change in my life. Pretty tired all the time and Shout out to my wife, who's doing 99% of the work, but I'm helping out where I can. I'm now cooking all the meals, all the dinner for us, and trying to clean up and help out and do things where I can. But it's a big change. And it's also worth mentioning, shout out to my cousin Dave, who the day before me, his wife gave birth to their first child, a son, whose name I still actually don't know. He's not a social media guy, so I'll have to get that info from my other cousins. But shout out to cousin Dave. Mazel, congratulations on your first child. Maybe we can link up and discuss the goods and bads of being first-time parents. Maybe you'll have some tips for me, I'll have some tips for you. Maybe not. Maybe we'll just call each other and cry on the phone. Who knows? But anyway, so yeah, that's definitely happening in my life. And that obviously was the joke with the titling, at least, of last week's episode. But I just wanted to give everybody an update if they did not already see it on Facebook and Instagram and wherever it was posted. I don't even know. It was all over the place. But anyway, okay, so that's 26 minutes. That's enough for this week. Again, just a couple short ones here in the interim to get us back to normal next week, which I hope, and I feel very confident there will either be a typical BroPod episode, or again, Jamie and I will do an episode of The Other Half. Maybe both. We'll have to wait and see. But very doubtful that it will be yet another one of these, although I think these are fun. Just kind of getting on, chatting with you guys, letting you know what's going on in my life, updating you on my world, and what's on my mind. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy the BroPod every week. Again, check us out, bropodnetwork.com. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter, the_bro_pod. And Spotify, Apple, Google Play, iTunes, you name it. We are streaming on those platforms. So check us out. Tell a friend. We're on Facebook as well. The BroPod with Scott and Todd. You can look us up. You can find us. You probably already know. Oh, and shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. If you're listening to this before the Super Bowl, shoot me a prediction. I'll give you a shout out next week for those that are, for the listener that is the closest to the actual score. Email must be timestamped before kickoff. No cheating. Again, that's thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. I thank you all for listening to just me yet again, bringing you the best of what's on my mind late on a Saturday night. And until next week, everybody, see you.